I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9-to-5 is something that I don't wanna do. Sit in the cubicle miserable as I slave away, getting complacent with life as my dreams fade away. Nah, motivation to go harder. I'd rather spit that real shit, I'd probably die martyr. They wanna ride the wave, I hope you got your surfboard, cause it's a high tide though, we try and ball like the Carters.
Good morning, good evening, good night, folks. This is your Five Tool Sports Podcast host, Woody Massey, and I'm here with two of the tools today.
Yeah, yeah.
We have Calvin. Yeah,
whittling it down.
Whittling. Nah, but Nate, we miss you. Have fun in distant lands.
Get well, man. Get well.
Yeah. COVID!
Hey, y'all got me thinking he got COVID now.
Well, no. There'll be a GoFundMe up this afternoon. Just
Nate's fine.
Maybe we should
He will be back next week. Producer extraordinaire with his the only tool to have picked UCLA to win the NCAA tournament. He was on the precipice of greatness.
Yeah, I swear, Nate doesn't know what he's talking about most of the time.
But he goes
on these runs, and we need
when
to
he starts
those
saying
benefits.
Shit, we need to like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Write it down, put in shit. A ticket.
Yeah. Be like, yeah, right, Nate, you're a liar.
Let me put $50 on UCLA.
I'm writing this down right now.
But Brandon Lumber, coach, how you doing?
What's up? Not a whole lot.
Brandon's in a mood today. He's off the 5-hour energies.
Yeah, if they want to sponsor us, that'd be great.
I need some more Double Horse.
Actually, whatever happened with that, man? Did you go buy more?
Over there? No, I should. It's so bad. It was so gross.
You develop a Twitch?
Some good energy, a little bit. You know.
I mean, hey.
So Najee Harris. Pittsburgh interviewed him, and it went really well. That's what things are coming out as. And also, Najee Harris got a little boost in his draft stock when it was reported that he drove all the way, I think it was from Texas, back to Alabama just to be there, even though he wasn't working out, just to be there for his teammates' pro day. And he drove, like, all through the night. So he's a culture guy. You know Pittsburgh loves that. And they've been missing a running back since Bell left, you know. And Rashard Mendenhall fell off the planet. Shout out Rashard Mendenhall.
Oh,
he was supposed to be better than he should have been.
A throwback.
Illinois. But Najee Harris to Pittsburgh. We see that in the first round. I think it works. I mean, we said it before the season ended that Najee Harris would have been good fit there. So
yeah, there's quite a few spots. I want to say between like 18 and maybe 24. Or 25 in the first round of the draft. Some teams who could really be looking at running back. Steelers is one of them. Dolphins is one of them. With their second pick in the first round. The Jets is another one. And then I also had Seattle in there too, possibly taking a running back. But they did re-sign Chris Carson, so they're probably off the market. But whoever get not Najee Harris, they're getting a hell of a football player. I think he's going to be all pro soon. I really do.
Yeah, he seems to have the most potential to, like, burst out early, right? More than ETN or the dudes from North Carolina.
I like ETN as well, similarly. But I like Najee Harris is on top of my running back rankings. So
Look, we've seen it throughout history. It's all about the situation for the running backs. I mean, if you're an elite running back, look, perfect example, Joe Mixon. I think Joe Mixon is elite talent, but he didn't go to a great situation. Here we are, what, 3 years later? Like, hey, what's up, Joe? The situations for running backs mean a lot.
It's not like he's putting up scrub numbers. He's been a 1,000-yard rusher, like, his first 3 years of his career.
Right, but
just he has a bad offensive line.
But we don't mention him in the same breaths as we do Ezekiel Elliott, Dalvin Cook, Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey. So, I mean, though all those guys were in good situations, and those teams decided to build around the running back and to feature the running back. So, and then it's talent in other positions as well on those respective teams. So, I mean, hey, whoever gets Najee Harris, if he goes to a good situation, he's going to break out. Like some of the guys I named. I really do believe that. And then the Mike Williams and, excuse me, is it Javonte Williams and Michael Carter? Again, two really good backs. They're probably going day two of the draft, but they could really pop. So, I mean, hey, it's some good running backs. But I think I have Najee Harris at the top. So kudos to him for interviewing well with Pittsburgh. He seems like a great guy, seems like a good kid, got his head on his shoulder. So,
well, here's another question. So, of course, we had the Sam Darnold trade yesterday. The Panthers traded three future picks to get the young guy going into his contract year. It was a six-round pick this year and then a second and a six-round pick next year's draft. But we're going to talk about that more when we get to the Panthers. Apparently, the Broncos were interested in the Sammy D market. So my question for you is, what does this say about Drew Lock? And what does this say about them possibly moving up in the draft? Because when I think of an offense that is literally a player away from being a contender, with that wide receiver core, Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, you have young Noah Fant, you have Melvin Gordon in the backfield. Yeah. They are a quarterback away. So do we see them moving up? Are they the team now that takes that mantle from the Panthers?
I could see them potentially trying to move up in the draft, but I don't – it'd be like one spot, you know what I mean? Because I think Carolina has a lot to gain where they're at right now. Let's just say hypothetically if Atlanta's not going to move or move that fourth pick at all, then it becomes, okay, where can we get in there to get ahead of guys – get ahead of Denver essentially, right? To get a Trey Lance, for example, or a Justin Fields, or any of those guys that could fall, because there's going to be, I feel like there's four guys that get taken in the first four picks at quarterback, and then you're going to have a fifth in the top 10.
Yeah, I think Sam Darnold would have been a great fit for that Denver Broncos offense. I think, you know, before the dominoes really started to fall this offseason on the pod, we've all been on record. You know, we named Pittsburgh as a good spot. I want to say a few of us at the Denver Broncos as well. I think it says that John Elway, he's ready to move on from Drew Lock, which I'm a bit surprised. But
are you?
I mean, look, at the same time, like he's kind of given us what Sam Darnold gave the New York Jets. So no. He's been underwhelming. They want a little more. I will say this. Drew Lock had weapons in Denver, so that's the obvious difference. But I feel like John Elway didn't pull the trigger on whatever he had to give up to get Sam Darnold because he's done cutting corners. And we talked about this in the Football Scout 365 pod, you know, just through Paxton Lynch to Trevor Siemian. He went out and got Joe Flacco, Case Keenum to be a stopgap quarterback.
Who was the tall guy that he thought?
Osweiler. Brock Osweiler.
Osweiler, yeah.
Man, but they're going to look to either trade up to get what they want or they're going to stay put at 9 to hopefully get a quarterback. But if they stay with Drew Lock, I'd be I don't think it's necessarily a bad move, but I would be surprised.
So Todd Gurley tweeted last week that he's close to signing with an NFL team. Who cares, right? Like, I hate – how crazy is it that we're there with one of the most electrifying backs we've ever seen over, like, a three-season period? And we're at the point of, like, we don't care that he's going to sign with somebody else. Because yeah. We saw last year, he's just stumbling forward. He averaged 3 yards a carry last year. He scored some touchdowns, but that's just because Atlanta has good wide receivers and they get in the red zone.
Todd Gurley is washed up, probably, as you said, what he just wanted, the steepest slippery slopes that we've seen for a running back in quite some time. And we all know they can all have a short shelf life, but like to go for what, over 2,000 yards from scrimmage back in 2017, I want to say, to where he is now. Take care of your knees, fellas. That's all I can say.
His career in comparison, I feel like, is like Sean Alexander now. Like, he had a couple good years. Sean Alexander, that the way of Sean Alexander and Larry Johnson. He was an explosive back in college.
There we go.
Had a couple years.
I like just, that one.
Boom.
I like done. That one. Yeah. It was very Larry Johnson-esque.
Yeah. Remember, Sean Alexander only did it for like a couple years. And then just fell off the face of the planet, too. People forget he literally carried the Seahawks to the Super Bowl on his back that year.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Justin Fields. Man. Man, we're starting the NFL. Like, people have come out and Justin Fields' work ethic has been. I've never been a huge Justin Fields fan, but it's strictly because I don't think Ohio State's system produces NFL quarterbacks. That has been my reasoning. But, you man, sure? I'm rooting for the kid now.
Oh, okay. Oh, you're on our side now, huh?
Well, listen, man. You got people coming in.
Look at his hair. Look at his hair.
His braids make me uncomfortable. No, but Justin Fields, this man, he's getting knocked for his work ethic by some random dudes, analysts, quote unquote. I think it started with Dan Orlovsky. He came out and said something.
Yeah.
And it set the internet ablaze. And Dan Orlovsky, a UConn quarterback who was a backup his whole career. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's true.
And he questioned Justin Fields' work ethic. Meanwhile, Mac Jones has been seeing his stock rise and rise and rise, even though he had the most talent in the NCAA, has far less intangibles. Well, not intangibles, excuse me. Far less athletic intangibles. And has a worse arm. Like, he literally does nothing better than Justin Fields, right? Am I wrong here? And he has two DUIs, but no one said anything about
that. Two of them. Yeah, that's wild. That, look, when y'all said something to me before the show about the DUIs, like, my jaw dropped because I had no clue. And it just kind of reiterates on my point before that nowadays, because the quarterback position has changed, it just seems as though they're doing everything they can to revert it to how it used to be. Because now we have quarterbacks who 20 years ago, you know, black quarterbacks were coming out of the college game. And if they could check every single box, but maybe their arm wasn't quite good enough, maybe it was the arm strength, or maybe they weren't as accurate, they were either relegated to a late round pick or went undrafted all together. And so now here we are, the NFL game has changed, the quarterback position has changed, and essentially quarterbacks have added a new box that needs to be checked, right? And that box is, well, is he dual threat? Is he dual threat? And here we are, we have a quarterback in Mac Jones, a white quarterback, mind you, who I'm a fan of. I think he's a solid player, but he leaves two boxes unchecked. And now, and really a third one after the DUI stuff. So now, okay, it's off the field issues. It's lack of a strong arm, which I'm not too worried about that because you can develop that with repetition and just getting older, old man strength, and not being mobile as, you know, your modern day quarterback is. So with all that being said, his stock is going up. He's about to be a top five pick. I don't get it. I see Mac Jones. I see. I'm gonna make a bold statement, and I don't know if I'm ready to yet. I see a lot of Daniel Jones. Except Daniel Jones was more athletic. Daniel Jones played at Duke. He wasn't throwing to Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs. He was an accurate passer. He was very conservative. But I see a lot of similarities in Daniel Jones and Mac Jones.
Mac Jones ain't beating Lamar Jackson in a foot race.
There's some comparable traits there. I mean, you put Daniel Jones in Alabama's offense, it would have been fire. Yeah. He's super accurate. Yeah, he's super accurate. But I think the big thing people are looking at outside of the negative stuff that's come up for Justin Fields, the big thing for me, the difference between the two, one guy to me is being looked at as absolutely NFL ready right now, a guy who distributes the football really well and will just play within the scheme. He's not a guy who's going to try to play off script. But Justin Fields, again, he's a guy I feel has far more upside and potential long term if you can develop it, and he's proven it. You know, at the college level, his accuracy is there. Maybe the whole San Francisco thing is just, you know, Shanahan wants a guy who's going to play within the system and stay within the system. Maybe that's his thought process. I don't know. But I would love to see Justin Fields in that scenario. But somebody's going to draft him, and they're going to get a good player. But his work ethic doesn't need to be in question. You know, I brought it up before. The article in Sports Illustrated a few years ago, dude lived in the Woody Hayes facility. Did his schoolwork online, didn't even really attend an actual class in person, and they do that to save time. You know, he admitted as much. Like,
yeah, it's not like they're going to college or anything.
Right. So,
yeah, we gotta kill this narrative in America that successful brothers or just brothers in general aren't hardworking. Cause like that literally came from nowhere.
Yeah. See, why don't you hit us with that ad placement?
Got you. All right. Hey guys, it's your boy CSPN, and you know I love watching and analyzing football. There's nothing that trumps the CSPN eye test. But let's be real, the numbers do matter. If you want to make sure the numbers match your eye test, give our sister site a check at www.footballscout365.com, created by our own Brandon Lundberg. Football Scout 365 has in-depth analysis for pro and college football. Football Scout 365 has numerous tools such as the NFL situational analysis tool, the NFL free agent analysis tool, and the also important NFL mock drafts, which are red hot right now. I use Football Scout 365 daily, and you should too. So again, go on over to footballscout365.com.
And we're back. Check out Football Scout 365, and let's do a little trivia before we hop into these NFL team offseason previews. We're going to go through the whole NFC South today because we want to get these last few divisions done so we can get to the draft coverage, because the draft is coming up, and once that happens, we're going to be doing a lot of post coverage on that. So, C, why don't you kick us off with that?
Word up. I got some really good trivia for you guys today. As I told you guys a couple weeks ago, I'm going to try to start to implement something that's relatable, right? So right now, we're kind of balls deep in the NFL mock draft. We've talked so much about Kyle Pitts and just the upside he has.
And how he can make every organization better.
Every organization better. And then you just go down the line of some of the great tight ends that we've seen over the last two decades. And it's quite a few. But the 5-2 sports trivia question is, there have been two tight ends drafted inside the top six in the last 20 years. Give me at least one of them.
Well, I know one right off the top. It's Vernon Davis.
That is one of them. Good job.
I think I know the
two.
Who?
I think two I know
in the last.
Yeah,
two in the last 10.
In the last 20 years.
I'll let you try to guess it, Brandon. I think I know who it is. You said top six.
Top six.
Kellen Winslow.
Good job, fellas. Y'all make me proud, man. I feel like a proud dad. Look, we hit the grand slam today. We hit for the cycle.
If we're talking just top 10, you got Eric Ebron. He was like
Eric Ebron, TJ Hockenson.
Few.
And think about this. Pitts might be drafted outside of that top six.
Which is crazy. Which, you know, one of my arguments is for me having Kyle Pitts number one overall on my big board is if we went back down the line and if we did research on quarterbacks who went top six over that same time, I guarantee you the success rate for tight ends is probably better because Kellen Winslow and Vernon Davis both made Pro Bowls. Every quarterback that's been taken inside the top six in the last 20 years have not made Pro Bowls. So, you know, it's a bit of a reach.
Wait. Every
quarterback that has been taken within the top six in the last 20 years, it's some bust in there is what I'm saying.
I thought you were saying all of them.
Ben Roethlisberger,
Eli Manning, Philip Rivers.
Not all of them. But some of those guys, I don't think Big Ben was drafted top six. I think he was drafted.
Yeah, it was 1, 2, 3. Seven. No, Big Ben was seven. You're right.
Okay.
Man, that was a good trivia, though. I like that. So let's jump right into the Panthers. So Panthers, we skipped over this because we were talking about the Denver Broncos. Sam Darnold, what does he do for this offense, Brandon?
He's going to elevate the offense, I believe. He brings a level of downfield throwing that they didn't necessarily have with Teddy Bridgewater. Not to knock Teddy too much, but I mean,
no one wants to knock Teddy. Everyone loves Teddy.
Right. I feel like Darnold is going to be a guy who can flourish in this system under Joe Brady, who runs the Sean Payton style New Orleans Saints offense. So I think it's going to also open the window in a similar way to drafting. Let's just say, and the rumor is that Carolina kind of liked Mac Jones, or did like Mac Jones. And once San Francisco traded up, that's when the wheeling and dealing began, where they're like, okay, we got to make a move. So they ended up with Sam Darnold. But if you look at the age difference between the two, you've got one guy, Mac Jones, coming out of college as a rookie at 22, and Sam Darnold, who's only 23. The only difference is you're not getting a rookie deal. So you got to figure that aspect of things out down the line.
CJ, do you think Sam Darnold's previous connection with Robbie Anderson, which we saw them have a great connection his rookie year, plays a part in his success in Carolina?
Look, I think Robbie Anderson went up to Carolina's front office and was like, hey, man, Sammy D. Cole, man, we got to get him. We got to get Sammy D. That's my dog. I mean, look, Sam Darnold, personally, I think Carolina may have given up too much, but it can all be justified. So I don't hate it. Teddy B, he's conservative. As Brandon pointed out, Sam Darnold does give you an element of downfield throwing with Robbie Anderson and DJ Moore. You got 2-4-3 speed guys on the outside, so you definitely want to stretch the defense. You want to get the defense vertical so you can really work horizontally, right? That's the way it's the West Coast game. You're doing a lot of horizontal, a lot of time and stuff, but it's so much easier to do that when you can successfully take shots down the field. It'll open up everything. So, I mean, Sammy D, he has the pieces around him now, and it's no excuses. And I predict that if he has a good year past this year, this whole Sammy D nickname is really going to stick.
I like it. Well, here's another question. The Panthers. So Curtis Samuel, he went to Washington football team. Last year we saw their offense really start to open up when they started using Curtis Samuel in a lot of different ways, out of the backfield, on reverses, you know, getting creative. Is this going to hurt the offense? And I'm going to send that to you, CJ, and Brandon. After that, maybe who's someone that they could target in the draft to possibly bring that versatility back to the offense?
I don't think losing Curtis Samuel hurt him too much. I mean, he's a good player, so you may feel some effects from it. But I want to point out that, you know, a lot of the reason for his good year last year was not having Christian McCaffrey, right? So a lot of the things that they were used to doing with Christian McCaffrey, well, Curtis Samuel got a lot more touches, just screen passes, just trying to get him the ball because they didn't have CMC back there. So I think he's a good player, but I don't think Carolina will necessarily miss him.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And to touch on what you were saying, Woody, about a player who could replace his versatility, I don't think, like CJ said, that matters as much if you have CMC healthy. What I do believe, though, is, and we'll talk about that in a minute, is, you know, reducing CMC's workload. But a player that I think that they're going to be in position to get if they want to stay in that spot, they don't trade out of it, is Kyle Pitts, which pretty much fits everywhere.
He does. They could use some help at tight end.
That'd be a hell of an offense, mixing in a 6'6 red zone target like Kyle Pitts with the 4'3 speed on both sides. That's dangerous. Well, let's talk about Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey obviously had one of the two back-to-back amazing seasons, one of the best NFL running back seasons ever. And then he got a little injured last year, but it seemed like they were more cautious about bringing him back because the season was out of reach already. So we expect a full bounce back from Christian McCaffrey this year. Does he push this off? Like, this offense seems like it could be elite next year, right?
It could definitely be elite next year. Like, it has that type of potential, but you know, potential is a heaven and it's a gift and a curse, you know? So, they should do big things, and if they don't, then it's going to be a problem.
What becomes of Teddy Two Gloves? Poor Teddy. He's a backup, right? That's just what he is. You're not going to be a winning franchise and have Teddy as your franchise quarterback.
I think you can win with Teddy because he doesn't turn the ball over. He plays it safe. He gets it to the guys that he needs to. But if you don't have a legit defense on the other side, Teddy B, he's not elevating your offense to the next level. I think a good fit right now for him, if I was the Chicago Bears, I would take a hard look at Teddy B. Right now you have Andy Dalton, I mean.
Yeah, the Bears need anything.
You got to do something.
They need something.
Bears
need something, man.
All right. So the defense, the Panthers added two offensive linemen, Cam Irving, backup left tackle from the Cowboys. Do you think that's a good signing for them, CJ? I know you know more about him than us, probably.
He was a backup for a reason. I mean, look, he was probably one of your more decent backups at the tackle spot over the past few years, but it's more like just a placeholder. It was like Carolina, they knew they needed a guy, so they went and just got a guy. But he's still not the guy. You got Taylor Moton over on the right side. That's pretty much the only spot along the offensive line where I feel like they can be confident about. But, you know, throughout the entire offensive line, they need some help. The secondary really needs some help as well. So that defense is in shambles. And quite frankly, we talk about all these sexy picks at 8, you know, about them going quarterback here and then possibly getting Kyle Pitts. They need to draft one of those positions that's just not as sexy. Like, they have so many needs.
Yeah.
Panay Sewell.
I mean, if this he drops, that would be... Oh my gosh!
And, that'd be perfect.
And it's a possibility that he really might drop the 8, which is insane.
I mean, you have to consider Irving too. Like they'd have, you know, they could keep him at tackle, and then they could flip Sewell as a rookie at guard, have him play guard for a year, develop him, and then flip him outside, and then get somebody to play guard.
Yeah.
Now the biggest question for the Panthers, and this will close us out on the Panthers, would be their defense, because last year their offense was great with Joe Brady coming in. It was beautiful. They had a total turnaround, even with Teddy Two Gloves. Like they had 2,000 yard wide receivers, and Curtis Samuel had 1,000 yards from scrimmage. So in the offseason, they went out, they got Hassan Riddick from the Cardinals, 11 sacks. He showed a lot of burst last year after being a bust for his first couple years, and then they grabbed Denzel Perryman, middle linebacker from the Chargers, who I'm personally familiar with. He is a good middle linebacker. He just cannot stay healthy. So if he can stay healthy, big if, that could improve the defense. They had a good draft pick last year. The defensive lineman, who was that on the outside?
Derek Brown. You talking
Derek
about
the Panthers,
yeah, he's
right?
Yeah. He's the defensive tackle.
Yeah, big boy.
From Auburn.
Big, long body.
Yeah.
He didn't have a great – I mean, look, he was a rookie, so he went through his rookie pains. It's some upside there, but we didn't see too much of it last year. He didn't have the greatest grade against the run. His pass rush grade, I believe, was like 72, which is pretty good, but his run grade wasn't.
Their run defense needs a lot of work, and their pass coverage needs a lot of work. I mean, they've just got to work on.
Well,
they've got holes everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah, but the level of talent on their offense, though, they just need a middle-tier defense. They don't need a top team.
So this is the thing. When you're in Carolina's position, do you go and draft at those sexy spots? Draft the spots that aren't sexy and go get
trade your pick.
Trade down, maybe get some linemen, but instead of getting a Pitts or one of these receivers – look, that defense is going to be bad, all right? That defense needs Jesus. So no matter how many draft picks you get, the defense is going to be bad. So how about we shore up the offensive line? Because it don't matter how good that defense is and how good those weapons are, if you peeling Sammy D up off the ground after every play, you're not winning games. So,
yeah, I mean, I don't know what it says for your team, too, when your top two free agent signees are the backup left tackle from the Cowboys losing season, and then the left guard from the Jets.
This signals to me they're going linemen regardless, probably, with whatever pick they have.
That would make sense. Mike Davis, of course, he actually left, so we may see them draft a backup running back as well. Brandon, I think you mentioned something about that earlier.
Hey, hold up. Real quick, sure. I had some bums on my Facebook the other day. We were talking about the Carolina Panthers, and And after the trade, it was like, yeah, they can go and get one of these receivers. And I'm like, nah, bro, they need help in the trenches. Then go get a receiver. And I was
you
like,
you got what? two.
That's exactly what I said. So look, man, clowns, they come in all different shapes, colors, and sizes, and sometimes they're on social media.
Just all riding the same car, you know?
Oh my God.
So let's briefly talk about the Falcons. Falcons, these guys are on the precipice of a full rebuild. It would have started this year, but the dead cap that they would have received from trading Matt Ryan made it not suitable to trade him. So we may see Matt Ryan get traded in the offseason next year. Who knows, two or even cut. They signed Mike Davis. They're not going to bring back. See, I'm already forgetting him. He's already phasing his way out the league.
Oh, Tollett?
Todd Gurley, yeah. They brought in Mike Davis, who looked great last year filling in for CMC. And then they lost Keanu Neal and Alex Mack. They're all pro center in free agency. Yeah. When do we see them get rid of Julio and Matt Ryan? Because you got to get some value for these guys, right?
They've been holding on too long. You know, it seems like for the past few years, we've heard rumors about Julio getting shipped potentially, and then the trigger was never pulled. And it's hard to justify trading guys who are that good. But at some point, it just really seems like since the 2017 Super Bowl, the Atlanta Falcons and their front office has been somewhere stuck between we're rebuilding and we're championship contenders, which isn't a good thing. It just means that they're confused right now, and that's not in a good place to be. I think after this year, we see them move on from Matt Ryan, just because, as you alluded to, Woody, they'll be able to get out of that contract. I believe it. They'll save right around $8 million. It is a lot of dead money if they cut him next year, but they will save roughly $8 million. And then the year after, in 2023, if they cut him, they'll save even more. I want to say 20 or 30 million. So, I mean, it's writing's on the wall. Writing's on the wall for Matt Ryan and the Falcons for sure.
Brandon, what do you think about the Falcons situation? Like, where do they draft the heir apparent here?
I mean, it only makes sense, right? Start your build now. And, you know, with a couple years of Matt Ryan potentially being the mentor and allowing whoever you draft to develop. I mean, they could really, honestly, I mean, it doesn't really matter because each of these quarterbacks fit just about any style system that you want to put them in at the top anyway. So just getting one of the top quarterbacks makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And also, you don't want to be the team that picked in the top in the year of the great quarterback draft. You know what I mean? There's always that year, that defining year where you get that class. And a lot of people seem like this might be that year or are leaning towards that. And you don't want to be the dudes in the top five that missed out on one of the great starters from that year.
You also don't get the opportunity to pick that often, generally, unless you're the Browns in the top five, right? Yeah, you're not consistently picking in the top five.
Or the Lions.
There. Right. True. When you're in the top five, you take your shot. You know, regardless, if there's a guy there that people are going to go after, why aren't you going after that guy and try to build around that guy? I understand if Matt Ryan was like 5 years younger, not maybe pursuing a guy, but sometimes you just shoot your shot.
So before we move on, their defense off of obviously, like, besides Deion Jones in the middle, like, is there any bright spot on this defense? It was horrific last year. They just got dunked on over and over again. Like, is there a weird world where they plug some holes and somehow compete this year in a stacked division?
So, look, I'll give you the silver lining in their defense. Their linebackers were, like, pretty average. That's a good thing. The corners, trash. Safeties, they lost
Kazee. He's your safety now.
And Keanu Neal. They are hurting on every level. On that defense.
And they at least have Eric Harris back there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know who that is. Sounds like a lot
of Harrises. A lot of Harrises.
Where'd he go? Florida? Somewhere in the SEC, probably?
I don't know.
I was an Al Harris guy myself.
Yeah, I don't even know. If you're waiting on me. I just thought I'd bring it up.
No, it's all good. So this is the bottom of the division, right? Even with two All-Pro wide receivers.
I feel like the Falcons and the Panthers are like in the same freaking boat.
But at least the Panthers are headed one way though, and the Falcons are headed
right. Another. Right.
I wouldn't say that the Falcons are heading the wrong way, but they're treading water. They're treading water. Like they're barely above.
There's three holes in the boat.
Yeah, for sure. You know, honestly,
and they can only cover two.
Just a bold statement. Bucks got to be the favorite in this division.
Oh, duh, yeah.
I think I like Carolina over New Orleans. I think New Orleans is going to fall off, man.
Well, let's jump right over to New Orleans. So, New Orleans last year, a lot of people thought it was the year. I thought it was the year. I thought we were going to see them and KC in the Super Bowl. You know, never bet against Tampa Tom. So, last year, New Orleans, Trey Hendrickson came out of nowhere at 13 sacks. It seemed like a more of a group effort, and he just benefited from it, though. When you look at his PFF grade and whatnot, he signed a big contract with the Bengals. They lost Sheldon Rankins, defensive tackle, to the New York Jets. Emmanuel Sanders, second wide receiver, he headed to the Bills. And then Jared Cook as well. He's off. He's done. So the Saints lost a lot of dudes to free agency because their cap is in shambles. This is something that is well known. Hall of Fame quarterback retired. But yeah, everyone, I feel like, it's the Sean Payton pass. Because you love Sean Payton, you feel like they're still going to contend this year somewhat?
I think that's exactly what it is. Because New Orleans is a team that I see that's like trending the wrong way. And even them trending the wrong way, they still might be a step ahead of Atlanta, who, as I said, is just barely treading water. But the Saints, man, just, I mean, look. On the offensive side of the ball, like you say, you lose Drew Brees, so you got a question mark at quarterback. You don't know if it's going to be Jameis. You don't know if it's going to be Taysom Hill. I can tell you this. Whichever one turns the ball over the least in training camp will probably be the one that's starting at the quarterback spot. And if Jameis Winston is starting, you know we'll still see a heavy dose of Taysom Hill. My problem with New Orleans is just the lack of weapons on the outside. And I know people are like, oh, well, they have Mike Thomas. They do have Mike Thomas. And Mike Thomas is a really good receiver. He's a WR1. Slant boy gonna slant. Mike Thomas is a WR1 who needs a nice complimentary WR2 that can stretch the defense. And right now, they don't have any speed of receiver. They got a lot of big bodies, a lot of the same receivers, but no one who can really stretch the field. And that's my worry.
Taysom Hill or Jameis Winston. I've been screaming from the rooftops. I want to see famous Jameis in a Sean Payton offense. And I know Brandon loves to see the Taysom Hill ran New Orleans Saints. Brandon, what are we going to see this year?
Oh, you want me to say what I believe?
Yes.
Will Jameis be eating a lot of W's?
I think that they want Jameis to be the guy. It's just a matter of, will he be a turnover machine? Sean Payton actually made a statement, I think like a day ago, about the competition or whatever between the two. And I think it was on NOLA.com. And he said, it's not definitive who the starter is going to be. But they do have like a set of commandments and the top one is turnovers. So he brought that up. Who doesn't turn over the football, right? Like that, the guy who protects it the most is going to get the job. That's the big thing. And
I think
obviously,
Alvin Kamara is going to eat this year. I think we see his best pro year this year.
Yeah.
He's going to.
But again, teams are going to be keying on him. Like, take him away, force these guys to go elsewhere. That's what they're going to load up to do. But again, like, we watched Breeze last year not be able to stretch the field consistently, and they were still winning. Take what the defense gives you, whoever's a quarterback, only take risk when you need to or when it's actually there.
I feel that, Brandon, but the difference between Drew Brees and just his football acumen and his IQ at the quarterback position makes up for a lot of the weaknesses that the offense may possess. Not just Drew Brees, but the offense in total may possess, right? So now you don't have that leader out there. Mm-hmm. And Drew Brees running your quarterback spot. So, like you said, they're going to key more on Alvin Kamara, right? He's going to see more loaded fronts. And it's real easy to load a front and walk that safety down in the box when you know that they're not going to throw it over the top of your head. So that's the part that I look at. When Drew Brees was there, yeah, maybe they wouldn't load the box as much. And it was just a lot of timing routes, a lot of crossing routes. It was just a well-oiled machine, so to speak. I don't see that being the same this year. Just not having Drew Brees there. They're going to key on Alvin Kamara. Go ahead.
To touch on what you just said, since you just made a great point, Drew Brees gets guys in the right position.
Yeah.
He still knows where to go with the football. He can see it ahead of time, all
intangible.
That stuff. Where you're not going to be able to, you might not be able to count on Winston. Winston has more experience as a starter, so I see that as a huge plus, so that might be beneficial.
Threw for 5,000 yards in the season.
Right, and Taysom Hill.
And 30 touchdowns.
And 30 interceptions. 30 for 30. But, yeah,
it will be the
Taysom
greatest
Hill.
30 for 30 ever. Eventually,
right. Taysom Hill knows this offense, though, inside and out, I think, too. So who knows how this shakes out. I feel like they want Winston. It could be Hill, or it's going to be both. And
but
if it's both, I think that's a problem, too.
Also, we got to put in mind, and I forgot all about this, Taysom Hill signed a contract extension this offseason.
Mm-hmm. Well, last offseason.
Well, regardless, he did, and they have to do something with him.
Well, he got a lot of money.
He does. This is true.
Because if that was a black college quarterback that couldn't throw the ball, he wouldn't be getting paid that. That's all I'm saying.
They question his work ethic.
Exactly.
So the Saints, even though they lost Hendrickson, like, the defense is what kept them in games last year. They still got the young stud corners. They tagged Marcus Williams. Like, that's what's going to keep them in contention this year, right?
I think that's what they're hoping on. And I think your regular fans out there, I think that's what they're thinking too. But when you really look at the numbers and you look into it, especially with the secondary outside of Williams, but like just the corners and the issues on the outside, Marshawn Lattimore, he's regressed as you know, seasons has went on. So, I mean, I think we look at this defense and we say, okay, this defense is going to be good again next year. I think these guys are regressing, and I think this defense is going to be a lot worse than what it was this past year.
I can see that.
It could be worse because the offense is not efficient, too. They're giving up short fields. They're turning over the football. All those factor in.
Yeah. And then just some of the – they didn't lose any stars, but as you pointed out, what did they lose? The Trey Hendrickson kid. It's still a loss. I mean, it's still
you're one injury away.
Right, you lost Sheldon Rankins, who wasn't a world beater by all means, but he was a solid role player playing that other tackle spot. You know, so I mean, it could get ugly for New Orleans, but it could get ugly for anybody. It's the NFL. It's football. Everyone's 2, 3, 4 injuries away from a 4-12 season.
Ugh. That's true.
Cowboys.
Chill, bro.
All right. Well, let's jump to the last team. The most important team, some would say. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Oh, I can't believe we're covering this without Nate.
Led by...
Actually, hold on, wait. I hear him putting his lipstick on.
I feel like Nate would have taken a day off for this.
Yeah, you would have... You would be here for Tom Brady, for sure. Tom Brady, that's where it starts, that's where it ends.
Yeah, I mean...
The age-old question. Is this the year that age finally catches up with the GOAT?
Look, man, look. Take that question and shove it up your ass, okay?
That's it.
It hurts from the past 5 years of doing that.
Yeah, man, it's like, you know, it's so many people... have said on wax with a mic in their face, hey, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, and it don't come. So you're not getting me with it. You're not getting me with it. Hey, as long as Tom Brady is signed to an NFL contract, I'm riding.
Until
I
see it with my own eyes, I'm not going to try to say like that's what's going to happen. Like, I don't care.
Brady's going to have a similar fall off to like what Kobe had, except it's going to be at like age 45. And we're going to give him a pass because he's 45. I mean, we gave Kobe a pass. And Kobe's what, like 36? So, I mean, Tom Brady, he might go out like just having to, you know, roll him off the field on a stretcher or something. But, I mean, hey, it doesn't do anything to his legacy. I mean, the man's great. Great.
I think he
great
might prefer to be rolled off like that.
Maybe so.
Half dead. And
probably.
Gladiator on the field.
Leaving all on the field. Yeah.
Literally.
I mean, it was unbelievable what he did last year. And this goes on. This continues. So the Bucks, last year we saw them hit their stride towards the end of the year when Arians kind of like took his hand off the offense a little bit and let Brady do his thing. Do we see the Bucks offense get even better now that Arians knows the direction to push the offense?
Even better? I wouldn't say even better.
I mean, they brought back everybody, and they're more experienced in the second year of the offense.
I would say that at the end of next season, when you look at the numbers side by side, the Bucks offense will be better statistically. Although I don't want to say even better, just from the standpoint that the issues they had was just because no offseason, you know, new quarterback, new offense, just trying to find that happy medium of no risk and no biscuit and like, hey, let's run some motion and throw this little 3 yard out and finding that happy medium. And they did that. So I don't want to say they take that next step, but I do think we see them become more efficient. I don't think we'll see them struggle because they struggled real bad at times last year. I mean, we watched some games. We were like, man,
what's going on?
Right. I don't think we see that Tampa Bay at all next year. But I think we've seen them reach their full potential. Which
we've seen
they won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know.
Right. And we watched them progressively get better, and you already hit the nail on the head. Obviously, the off-season stuff, a full off-season with Brady, like full camps and all that, you know, all that stuff is going to be where he's not getting kicked out of parks and you're not allowed to be outside in public, apparently, due to the pandemic. You're like, okay. Like, but you take that away, and now it's like a full season. I think it just expands.
We might see a career
elevates
out of Brady, man. Down
that's,
in that
I was
Tampa
thinking,
sun.
I'm like, their schedule, I believe, and I haven't went back to look at it yet, but I think that they have, like, one of the easier setups for this season coming up. Plus, they're in a division where teams are struggling already.
Yeah.
This could be one of the – he might go for that 17-0.
Yeah. I think he's a wizard, bro. He knows voodoo or something. He goes to the AFC East, and it's the Patriots and the rest of the division trash, and now he go to the NFC South, and it's about to be the Bucks and everybody else.
Yeah, no? He probably, I mean, hey.
All right, well, I mean, so Brady got a lot of, I mean, all the credit last year for good reason, but a big reason for their success was the improved run game throughout the season with the acquisition of Leonard Fournette and young Ronald Jones starting to come out of his shell into a real force in the league. Are Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette the second best running back duo in the league?
No.
Next to Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt?
No.
Like, who are the other duos out there you can think of?
Yeah.
Kamara
and Latavius Murray.
Yeah, I would put them over.
Melvin Gordon and Patrick Lindsay last year.
I would put them over this duo.
That's really all I can think of.
How about that? I would give them some credit. I just feel like they don't really complement each other that much, right? Fournette's a decent receiver. He's not like...
Yeah.
They don't have the guy... Like,
Ronald Jones is the big player.
They're in
guy.
The wrong bodies. That's the problem.
That's like a if serious... they could switch their skill sets with their bodies, they'd be a lot better.
Yeah.
I feel like they're sometimes the same player, though. Like, but
it does feel that way. It does feel that way.
Well, Ronald Jones is the home run threat, and Leonard Fournette's the punisher. That's the
Jones but the just runs is, straight ahead, and if it ain't open, he's running into people.
Exactly. And the thing is, Fournette is we watch his LSU tape, and you're like, man, he's a bulldozer.
Look like Earl Campbell.
And then he does. And then you watch him his first year in the league. But if you watch him the past few years, he shies away from contact a lot, man. He'd much rather bounce that thing out than meet you in the hole. And that's just Leonard Fournette for the past few years. So that's why I say sometimes it's like they're in the wrong body sometimes.
No, that's true. My problem is I watched Leonard Fournette's first big game against the Pittsburgh Steelers his rookie year. When he trucked over. I can't remember who it was.
Yeah. And they got up talking.
Yeah, and it was like 30 carries, 150 yards, two TDs. And I was like, he's come. He's here. Yeah. Like, and then, you know, I don't think anyone's ever forgotten that game, though, because it's just you'll get that like four times a season with him, you know. Yeah. But it's just not there week to week. He just doesn't have that killer mentality.
Look, kids, if you're listening, Leonard Fournette is the perfect example of like flushing money down the toilet, because all the talent is there, and he never did anything too, I guess, too bad to really make teams say, "Oh, we don't want him." But him and Jacksonville didn't get along. I mean, a lot of his antics, going to the media, Twitter, saying stuff. I mean, look, he hurt his checkbook, because Leonard Fournette has the type of talent and skill where he could have been. He could have been one of these $100 million backs.
Yeah.
Or he could have been the guy with a guy like Kamara that, you know, that's really Tampa's thing. Like, I feel like they need a receiver out of the backfield, a better one. Dynamic. No,
for sure. Well, maybe we'll see. I thought they would make a play for James White.
I know.
They still might.
Well, I think James White re-signed with New
England.
Yeah,
I think he did.
Oh, did he? I didn't see.
Yeah, because I've been I watched that close to see if that would be a thing. Because I believe that his mom and dad, his dad passed away, obviously. But what was that last year?
Man, that was last year. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think they're from Florida, which was, I'm like, all right, well, why is he not trying to do that? So who knows what's up with that?
Because it's Florida.
Hey, yeah, that's real.
No state tax, though.
Hey, last time I was in Florida, never mind.
Yeah, don't. No. Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown's going to Antonio Brown, man. But here's the thing. He's not re-signing and making it easy for them. And I actually, for once, think Antonio Brown's in the right in this situation, because he's not wanting this big multi-year deal. He's not wanting an insane contract. He just wants the same money that wide receivers that have been really good past their prime are getting. Like, he's looking at T.Y. Hilton get $8 million. He's looking at other dudes get $5 million his age.
He's looking for money. Is that the deal?
Not even big money. Just like
he wants 33-year-old wide receiver. Hey, I used to be an all-pro money.
And the Bucks are saying, no, we want you back on a discount because we gave you a chance. And it's like, this isn't how you treat
AB. AB, yeah, like, what?
This isn't how you treat the GOAT, man. Like,
you're right. I mean, budget-wise. No, we know Brandon's
stance on this.
No, Brandon
all
I don't,
for the player taking but, pay cuts. All right,
let me say something, though. Where did he find stability, though, where he's not losing his shit?
No, look, that's real.
He was, like, I was worried about him.
It was his last chance. So I don't know if he found stability. He also realized, like, this is my last stop.
But, I mean, I saw some videos where I'm like, this guy, he's not. Like, there's something's not right. Like,
he grew a weird ass mustache. Something ain't right.
The videos that I was watching of him last year, or the year before, I'm like, what the hell is going on, man? Like, he needs some help. So apparently he's garnered that where he's at. So I think maybe Tampa's looking at it like, well, hey, why don't you do this? Because nobody's really giving you a look. I don't know. But if you love Brady, play with Brady.
You, man, it's such a good.
But I don't feel that he doesn't deserve money. Do they even have the money to give him right now?
No. Because they signed everybody. Yeah.
They don't have enough money to even give him. Brady could take another pay cut.
Look, Tampa Bay, what they're doing is not wrong, because they're doing what's best for them. What Antonio Brown is doing is not wrong, because he's doing what's best for him. And just like both of y'all said, Tampa Bay was a second chance.
He's got to pay for his lawyers.
And he came back. And
literally what I read yesterday,
he played at a really high level. We see he has a lot left in the tank. He could go somewhere and still be a WR1 and still put up production. This year was his kind of like prove it or lose it. And he proved it. So now he should be able to go out there and make 8 to 10 million on a 1-year deal if he wanted to. I really believe that. Like,
he'd go to New Orleans and they'll give him an IOU. Like, hey, we don't have the money right now. But yes. I promise you, man.
The Seahawks. Russell Wilson has come out and said that he wants the Seahawks to bring him in.
I heard that. That'd be great.
That'd be huge because Russ, the way Russ throws the ball, it fits AB's route running style
big
so
time.
Well.
Big time. And then they could get better in their screen game, which Seattle has a pretty decent screen game. They'll throw it out to Lockett and DK at times, but with AB there, and then you have AB and Lockett, and me and Brandon was going back and forth last week on Lockett. But those two guys are really interchangeable. They can play all three of the receiver spots. Obviously, with DK there, he's probably mainly your X. Yeah, majority of the time.
He's just running straight or slightly run into the side.
Yeah, I need you to run a post corner and a vertical.
Ain't gonna be anything else.
Damn it if it's there, inside or out.
That would be awesome for Seattle.
Yeah, I think one last thing. I know we're going forever on this one, but Antonio Brown's probably in the front office with a ledger. Like, all right, look, I need you guys to meet me here. Because as you said, like, they brought that up. He needs to pay the lawyers. He's like, look, this is where I need to be. He probably got it all wrote down, all his damn bills. Like, come on, man.
Hell or at least get me a lawyer. Like, give me a team lawyer.
Yeah, can I get a better
lawyer?
At least?
I just hope he saved his money. Like, now, obviously, he didn't save all of it, but I'll be safe some of it. Because when all that stuff was going on, and, you know, like, remember all this stuff happened the same offseason, Hard Knocks was featured with the Raiders. So, you know what I'm saying? They showing him in camp. They flashing it to him during film session. And he got, like, a baby around his neck. Like, this big-ass chain. I'm like, you're in film session, bro. Like, why? And then they show his house. And he has like the Greek, the Roman, the big, you know, pillars out front. And I'm like, bro, I hope you're saving your money. I know he's made what, probably $100 million in his career. I hope he has half of it in the bank, man.
I don't know. Remember, Pittsburgh's stingy, so they always got him on a little bit of a discount.
Yeah, that's real.
His lawyer's got half the money.
Real talk, though. Man, I'm the more and more you hear him talk, you just think, maybe you should have switched your helmet, bro. Maybe you should have switched your helmet back in the day when they were telling you to. Yeah. You play in a division with Vontaze Burfict. Switch your helmet.
it's crazy to think it's been 2 years. Like, when this stuff, it was around this time when all this stuff initially started to, like, pop off, right? It's been 2 years.
Oh.
It's crazy.
All right, well, let's talk about, so the Bucs are set on offense, right? Like, there's no position where they really need to improve. And the Bucs front seven is maybe the most slept on front seven in the NFL. Like, these guys, this is an elite front seven. They have two amazing linebackers that complement each other. They can go five deep on the line, get a pass rush going. Who is somebody? And remember, Villa came back for the playoffs last year and made them a different team. Yeah. So now you're going to have Sue and Villa for the full season with the outside, with the linebackers. Who could the Bucs zero in on and draft and possibly get playing time on this team?
You want to go first, Brandon? You want me?
Yeah, I mean, with Sue re-signing, it kind of threw me off a bit because I had him potentially taking a defensive lineman. I thought maybe like Christian Barmore, he's going to be there. A Davion Nixon.
Yeah.
CJ's favorite defensive lineman. So there's guys like that that I was thinking about. But now I'm like, man, there isn't really an area where I'm like, what do they do?
They filled safety last year with Winfield Jr.
Yeah. I mean, so I struggled when I did the latest mock draft. Like, okay, that's the only weakness. I'm going D-line. It makes sense. So honestly, now it's like, what do you do with that pick?
I'm going to tell you what you do, Brandon. You just won a Super Bowl. You re-signed all 22 guys. You're probably the favorite for next year. You're drafting 32 at the end of the first round. So you know what you do? You draft best available. No matter the position, you just draft best available. Like, I truly believe if you're an organization and when your pick is up and you can say, well, you know, we can draft best available here, means you've put your roster together pretty well. And yeah.
Maybe wide receiver. Maybe we could see Rondale Moore from Purdue, right?
They'd have to trade up to get Rondell Moore.
I feel like he's going earlier than people think.
My thinking process for receiver is they only have Godwin on the one, the franchise tag, and if Antonio Brown is, you know, up in the air, Mike Evans has been getting injured.
You might be onto something. All right, I do want to say this. If Rondell Moore falls to them, that might be a home run because he is a guy that I think you could bring in and out of the backfield and do some stuff with.
Oh, you think maybe looking at him like the Curtis Samuel out the backfield plays?
Oh, yeah. Dynamic all over the place type. That might be a thing.
And the rich get richer. He's not going to be there at 32, though.
I don't think so either.
He might. I haven't been seeing him in the mocks.
Yeah. I know, but you're going to see some guys that aren't in the mocks that are going to get picked, and you're going to be like, why? Unreal.
And some of those picks are going to be good picks. Because, look, we can only do the homework and research that we're allowed to do. So, you know, these guys really have the resources.
Oh, it takes an injury.
Yeah.
Bad work ethic or something.
Yeah, I was just thinking of what player could make them dynamic like Antonio Brown did, and that was the first player that might be around.
Oh, I like that because it gives them an added dimension. It's a two for one.
Yeah,
I don't hate that, Woody. You're thinking ahead, so you're right. You got Chris Godwin for the 1 year, so maybe you could go receiver late. Maybe a Terrace Marshall from LSU might be there. Mm-hmm. Maybe a Kadarius Toney. But then also,
Pitts. Get him.
Him and Gronk. And Gronk and Cameron Brate, you know?
Why not?
And OJ Howard's coming back.
Do we need an offensive line? Can we just have like this super awesome dynamic offensive line where you don't know who's going to be the receiver at one point?
Yeah.
Flip them around.
It's gonna be a hell of a season, man. It's the Bucks right now, and then everybody else. That's just where it's at.
I mean, look,
it's scary that they brought back all the starters.
It is.
No one's ever done that before.
You know what else is scary? Patrick Mahomes.
That's true.
Yeah, so
if he didn't have to run for his life, it would have been a different
Super Bowl. The Bucks are my favorite. Yeah, I think I have no issue with saying the Bucks are the favorite going into 2021, but they're smidgen over the Chiefs being the favorite. And if anyone wanted to say the Chiefs is the favorite, I have no qualms with that because, I mean, I see it. Because the Chiefs is probably Tampa Bay's biggest, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for? Biggest competition right now. And you know you're going against a high-powered Kansas City offense. You know, maybe it's not out of the realm of possibility to maybe go edge rusher if there's one there late, right? Because you know that's Patrick Mahomes, that's Kansas City's kryptonite, all right? Or maybe you could go corner. Yes, I know you have two good corners already.
Oh,
but
you could.
You never can have too many good corners, especially in this open, this modern, spread them out, throw it down the field type of era we're in. So, I mean, those are just some positions I think make more sense than necessarily going receiver. But I definitely see what you're saying with going receiver. What do you think? I don't think it would be a bad move. Like I said, they're in a good spot. I mean, hey, they can do what they want.
Must be nice.
All
right, well, that's going to wrap us up for the Five Tool Sports podcast. Shout out Nasty Nate Parker. He'll be with us next week. As you know, I was looking forward to the NFC South, and right when I saw that Sam Darnold hit, I just went back, edited the first talking point. Like, it was the perfect timing for us to do this.
Yeah.
It was really good. I think we did a great episode. Check us out online. Check out our socials. You got on Instagram at the Number 5 Tool Sports Podcast, the website, the Number 5 Tool Sports Podcast.com. Check out footballscout365.com. Same on Instagram. And for CJ, Coach Lumberg, and myself, we are out. My mama says she know that I ain't living right. I'd rather chase my dreams than live with regrets. Sometimes I think I let my demons get the best, but God be watching me with every step. So many nights, man, I was stressing and finessing.